right, dispersion. It's the spread of the data. It's in the measures of central tendency, we talked about where the mass was, where the grouping was, where the center was, or most frequent was. In this case, we're looking at a different attribute of data sets is how spread out they are, and how do we describe that spreading. So measures of dispersion take on a handful of different terms, much like measures of central tendency. And the simple thing is that, well, I guess it's not that simple because I've seen it forgotten so many times, is that when we're dealing with a data set, calculating the average is often done without much thought, and we just calculate the mean value and report that. It gives us a bit of information about where the middle of the data is or where the center of mass of the data is. But oftentimes we need to know what's the spread of the data. So the average might be in spec within whatever range we call our specification. But if the dispersion of the data is very, very broad, we could still have a significant amount of our components fall outside the specification. If the dispersion is very, very tight about that mean, then everything could be within spec. It really matters how spread out our data is for all kinds of applications. So let's dive into a few of the terms we're going to use to talk about the measure of the dispersion. So I've used this concept of moments when I talked about the mean value, the first moment. Dispersion or variance is the second moment. And we're going to talk about moments in more detail in a future lesson, but there's also a third moment and a fourth moment. We call them skewness and kurtosis, which we'll define later. But at the moment, we're talking about spread, or scatter is another term you may hear used in this range, in this area. Now, the easiest way to describe the spread of your data is to use the difference between the maximum value and the minimum value. Take your high and your low, and that's your range. So if my low is 1 and my high is 99, my range is 98 units, or whatever it is I'm measuring. It gives us, like the mean value, it's impacted significantly, and even more so than the mean, by outliers. So if I was doing home prices again and had that one extremely expensive house, the range would be very, very big. Whereas if it was just my neighborhood and all the homes are about the same price, the range may be relatively small compared to the first example. Now, the range has been used for years because it's easy to calculate. Find the high value and low value and just do the difference, the subtraction. The standard deviation value or the variance values are a bit harder to calculate if you're dealing with a mechanical adder and a slide rule, but we're not. We're dealing with modern calculators and computers, so it's a relatively easy value. Standard deviation or variance are much easier to calculate, and they're a bit more accurate. But at times, we've used the range to estimate the standard deviation value. The bigger the range for a given sample size, the higher the standard deviation. And in general, if we have less than, I think it's 100 numbers, then if you divide it by 4, I'm sorry, if it's less than, say, 30 numbers, if you divide your range by 4, it's a crude estimate of standard deviation. Now, there's in control charting, and we'll talk about control charts at length in other lessons, there's a factor that helps us do the direct comparison between the sample size, given a sample size, and the range. You divide it by this factor called D2. And that's a worked out table of numbers that is expressly used to convert range given a certain sample size into an estimate of standard deviation. If you have a very large sample, then you can divide by 6. But keep in mind that plus or minus 2 standard deviations covers about 95% of your data. If you have a lot of numbers, say over 100, then it's the plus or minus 3 standard deviation may be more accurate. But there are algorithms and codes for this, and the D2 value deals with typically when you have very small samples, say 2 to 10 samples. So there's a couple of ways to convert range to standard deviation. Most of the time, though, it's much, much easier just to put them in Excel or put them in your calculator, calculate the standard deviation directly. Now, I did mention variance. Variance is the second moment. It's not standard deviation. It's variance. And statisticians and the theorists in statistics use variance. It has the mathematical definition of spread of the data. This is the one we typically work with. Now, we often use standard deviation because it's conveniently in the same units of what we're measuring. So if we're measuring inches, a variance of units of inches would be inches squared. And so we often use sigma squared or S squared to denote variance. But it's calculated by summing up all the differences and squaring those and then dividing by N, the number of samples that we have. Now, I remember when I was taking a data analysis class, one of the questions was, why do you square the difference? If I'm looking at the spread, similar to a range, I just really want the differences. Well, the problem is especially when you have a symmetrical distribution, is that half your values will be below the middle point and half the values will be above. So if you're adding up all the differences, you're going to get some negative numbers and an equal number of positive numbers, and this set of differences will become zero or close to zero. So squaring them gives us the a measure of the distance independent of the sign, and then dividing it gives us that average distance away, average squared distance away from the center of the data. So when I'm measuring the individual samples, that's what the X here stands for, and subtracting out the mean value, it implies that I have the whole population. And so I get an accurate estimate, or not estimate, I calculate the actual variance for a population. Now, all too often, though, I'm dealing with samples. And so I use the same basic structure, but I have to estimate the mean value. I use X bar to do a calculate. I calculate the mean value first, then I can calculate the variance. So same basic structure. I'm looking at the differences of the individual points from the estimate of the mean, squaring it, and then dividing by, in this case, N minus 1. Now, N minus 1 is a correction for what we call it's called the degrees of freedom, but it's a correction for the bias of this estimate. If I have a sample, it will tend to underestimate the variance term. So by dividing by one less than my sample size, it makes a correction to the standard deviation that I'm calculating and gives me a slightly bigger standard deviation value, or I should say variance value, than when I'm calculating a variance of a population. Now, the same holds for standard deviations, but in this case, it's not squared. So I do the same exact calculation as for variance, but then take the square root. Now the units are convenient. They're in the same units of whatever it was I'm measuring. So if it was weight, it might be in pounds or in kilograms. Or if it's length, it's in inches or in meters or centimeters. And so we often work with and display standard deviations, but it's the theorist and the statistics most often deals with variance. And so keeping those straight, if you're given variance, take the square root for standard deviation and vice versa. If you've got a standard deviation, square it and you have an estimate of the variance. Now, this difference between dividing by N for the population or dividing by N minus 1 for the sample becomes pretty important, especially for the exam, is you are likely to be asked to calculate a standard deviation, for example, or a variance. But are you dealing, you need to figure out if you're dealing with the population, which can be five items, or are you dealing with a sample, five items of a larger group? And then you can pick the appropriate formula. So it's something to keep in mind. The other part is that most calculators, especially the calculators that are allowed in the in for the exam, are basic calculators, right? They're not alphanumeric. You can't do searching on it and get on the web with them and things like that. But they all are capable of calculating standard deviations or variance terms. But some calculators default to give you the population value, and then you have to hit a second key or calculate it slightly different with a different button to get the sample. And some calculators do it the opposite direction. So here's a quick set of numbers. There's one, two, three, there's six numbers. So with the calculator that you expect to use during the exam, calculate the standard deviation and the population standard deviation. You should be able to quickly calculate one or the other using your calculator. All right, so go ahead and pause. This may take a few seconds. And go ahead and calculate both numbers. When you're ready, move on to the next slide. And no peeking. All right, so for the standard deviation, sample standard deviation, I got 2.43, and for the population, I got 2.22. Now, the population standard deviation will always be smaller for the same group of numbers than the sample value is, and that's that n minus 1 correction. Now, if I've got 30 numbers, the n minus 1 is 29, which is, in magnitude-wise, is much closer than the difference between 4 and 5, or 5 and 6. So the more numbers I have, the closer the sample and population values are going to get. And after about 30, for all practical purposes, they're pretty much interchangeable at that point. But this is one thing that we're going to get tested on, and you almost always see it, is a question that will give you an answer for both calculations using sample or population, n or n minus 1. So you really need to know which one's which, because you could very easily make a quick mistake if you're not really familiar with two things. One, in reading the question, am I dealing with a population or am I dealing with a sample? And if I'm dealing with a sample, with my calculator, how do I make sure I'm calculating the sample standard deviation, the one using the n minus 1? In some calculators, it gives you both answers, but many give you one or the other by default. And then there's extra steps to get to the other one. So make sure you know which one is which on your calculator. So I mentioned briefly the n minus 1. It's really a correction for the bias and for using the calculation of the average value, the mean value. So I've used all of the data to create it, to create the average. Now I'm going back to the data set to use it all again. If I only have 2 points of data, the value of the standard deviation is pointless, because I'm going to be dividing by zero, and so it's undefined. So the sample standard deviation for a sample size of 2 is, we can't calculate it. But for a population, if I have 2 points and the difference squared divided by 2 is my variance term. So that works out just fine. But I needed at least 3 points in order to get an estimate from a sample of a variance term. And that's because the data has been used already to calculate the mean value. It's one way to think of it. the data only contains so much information. And if it's a sample, I'm making estimates. And so I tend to need more data than when I have the whole population in order to make it a reasonable estimate. Well, that doesn't make much sense. The population's all the data. But as I consume information calculating mean values in order to get standard deviations, my sample is being, its information is being consumed. Now, that's about as far into that theory I want to get, but that's why it's there. It's to make a correction for the estimate of this variance term, and it's correcting for a bias or an offset that typically occurs. So in the next section, we're going to talk about a couple more of the basic laws in probability and stats, and this concept of covariance, coefficient of variance, I should say, COV.